Hello and welcome to the fifth episode of the Host Advantage podcast, where I'm once again joined by John.
I'm over here.
And Grant.
Who's down here?
And today we're going to shake things up a little bit. We're going to talk about Battlefield and what we hope and have expectations for in the next one. And if you've heard any of our previous podcasts, you'll know we're big fans. So my first question for you guys is, before we start off, do you think this is going to be a next-gen console exclusive?
So there's been some, and this is speculation right now, from what I've heard, there's a, and I'll get into this a bit more later, but there's a person named Tom Henderson. He's a pretty notable leaker, and he's been right about a lot of things in the past. He believes, let's see, where was the tweet? He says that he hasn't heard anything concrete about Battlefield coming to next-gen exclusives, but he theorizes that if they do come to next-gen exclusively, they might release Battlefield on Game Pass day one as an incentive for people that are on the old gen to jump ship and go to the next-gen. Which sucks for us because we're all on old generation consoles right now, and like, I don't know if I'd be willing. Like, I love Battlefield, obviously. If we're doing, for anyone who's listened to the previous podcast, that'd be a tough decision to make because that game would now be like a $500 investment, and I don't know if I'm ready to spend that kind of money. But hopefully,
I've already done that once too.
Yeah,
my foyer into 360 dumb was literally for Battlefield, so that's fun.
Was it really?
Hey, don't remember this? Like, you guys gave me shits for so long. Like, get a 360 because you guys play it every night, and I was like, no, I don't have any money. And then I finally got a job, and I finally got one just so I could play Battlefield.
And look how much better you are for it.
Just absolutely the best. No regrets.
So I think having it on Game Pass, that's pretty bold. I would love that for the sake of getting it to the masses a lot easier.
Yeah.
Get you a little taste, you know? Get you a little taste, then come to daddy for the real money.
Especially with the recent Game Pass and EA, recent EA Play and Game Pass coming together. That could be pretty huge.
Mm-hmm.
Might get a lot of traction for EA Play, you know, at that point, so I can see that benefiting all parties, which is the worst part because that's highly likely.
Mm-hmm. And keep in mind, at the point of this recording, it's still very difficult to get, at this point, a current gen console, which is the Series X and the PlayStation 5. Like, you cannot walk into a store and get one yet.
Thanks, scalpers. You fucking dickheads.
Yeah.
Dickheads.
Not making things better.
Yeah.
But I mean, every previous Battlefield that I can remember had been for the previous console and the new one with like maybe a month or so delay. But I don't know. I don't know what it would take to put in the effort to like de-res everything and lower texture qualities and animations.
Yeah.
I mean, what comes to mind is when Battlefield 4 came out, like they had the kind of dual console thing. And I remember the 360 version, like kind of everyone being annoyed with because it was just, things weren't polished the way that, because it clearly wasn't for that console, even though they had it for both.
Yeah, so the Evolution was really rough on the 360.
God, I remember the backlash, man.
As of right now, we also don't know what the title even is. Is it going to be Battlefield 6? Is it going to be...
I've heard that it'll just be Battlefield. Like, just Battlefield, like be Battlefield to end all Battlefields, which I think
let's
is
all go
not
back a, to the beginning.
Like, that's really putting like all your eggs in that basket, because if that fails, not good. Not
that's
good. And like the recent Battlefield releases, not a good rep. Like, it's been a rocky few years with the EA and Battlefield titles.
You know, it's almost like, if they're going to go with something like that, it needs to be almost like, we're selling out. We're not becoming Call of Duty, even though we tried to. We're going straight Arma. Like, we're going sim mode on this one. Like, that's why we're calling it Battlefield. So if you don't like it, go play Call of Duty, even though that's not what they'll do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I don't think they will either. But if they do, yeah, that name not having any like prefix under it is going to carry a lot of weight and a lot more expectation, I think. If they did call it Battlefield, they would not do this, but this is something that I've been wanting them to do for a long time, is to just have a solid remake of like 3 or Bad Company 2 something, or at least just like a Frankenstein monster of every like golden quality of each game from like the last decade and a half, and just mesh it all into one cohesive game and like call that Battlefield.
You'd think with the concept of evolution of games, that would be the case, right? That's what you'd expect almost.
Mm-hmm. But on top of names to be Battlefield 6, Battlefield might be diving a bit ahead in the talk here, but maybe future time theme Battlefield. Kind of like Advanced Warfare was.
Yeah, it's not like future, like everything's robots and shit. It's kind of a mixture between like modern plus like 5 or 10 years, I think.
So robot not like, dogs.
Not too. I mean, it might have dogs. Who fucking knows? But I won't knock anything. But it's not too far fetched, like laser beams and yeah, not like that.
It could probably be like more technological, like drones for recon and shit. Like I know there's the MAV already exists, but maybe something a little more advanced than that.
Yeah, because I think part of Battlefield's strong suit is it's like immersion and realism. And so if you're like shooting lasers, it's not going to feel like Battlefield. It's going to feel
using
like
jetpacks,
wall running. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Battlefield is boots on the ground. Always will be, or I'll fucking die.
So I never played it, but Battlefield kind of already has a precedent for this. They had 2142, which was a very like big like kind of cult hit, I think, at the time. I never played it, but I am familiar with it, and it is futuristic, so maybe they'll think about something like that. Maybe they can meld them. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think you hit the nail on the head with just the kind of light touch of future tech, because if you go too far into Futurescape with lasers, you lose a lot of people, and you're really dipping into sci-fi elements and kind of confusing. So long as you have like the sniper and assault rifle, like SMG sort of thing, you can have the groundwork for reskinning of, oh, this looks more futuristic, but it's the same thing that we already know. And then I don't know if you wanted to do like a Spartan laser on top of that, but I feel like that's kind of getting into,
I mean,
a little bit too creative.
The Battlefield 4, I think it was Last Stand or Final Stand, had a railgun, so they don't have to jump that far.
Yeah, it's more like DLC though, right? It's kind of like screwing around.
Hovercrafts.
I don't know. Historically, Battlefield has been more of like a realistic type. Like you said, the immersion aspect of it. I don't know if they go as far as to have lasers, because that's kind of not realistic to them, and it makes it hard to like Chris said, it's really hard to take that seriously, you know.
I mean if you look at like Battlefield 1 gameplay or just like any of the trailers, it's all like, I mean, it was the early 1900s, like you can't really fake anything, there's no lasers or nothing, so it's all just like gritty and dirt and no man's land and bayonets and sledgehammers, like it's fucking like in the dirt, like it's dirty and it's awesome.
Like, yeah, I love that about Battlefield 1. Yeah. I really did. It was historically accurate to the point where it's like, yeah, we don't care about anything fantasy-wise. We're not competing here. We're just doing something 100% legit, even though people didn't take it well because, oh, I can't put attachments on my guns. But well, yeah, dude, like just enjoy the game for what it is.
I want a holo sight and suppressors.
We're going to get a 12x scope on this bolt-action rifle. Like, because it's 1910, dude. Go jump on a horse. Get out of here.
I do appreciate that they didn't go too nuts with, like, microtransactions in regards to, like, weapon skins. Because I kind of think of, like, Gears of War going a little bit too far with some of the cosmetics.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Gears is a very, like, gritty and gory game. And then to see somebody with like a rainbow shotgun skin, it doesn't really mix well with the theme. It kind of clashes a little bit too much.
The little immersion that they have is gone. Like if I watching some people play Call of Duty like Warzone, just the reflective guns, and that they're like, it's like water flowing on it, it's all like glassy and it's shiny. I'm like, bright, this is fucking neon. Dumb, like I hate this shit, but like I get it. It's a free game. Companies got to make their money, and it works. That's the problem, is that it works. Like, they won't do it if it doesn't make them money. So of course they're gonna have a fuck ton of different bundles in the store because that's how they get, that's their income.
Just slap the word exclusive on it or like seasonal item.
And make it cost just a little bit more than the cheapest bundle of coins you can buy. So you have to buy the one above it and then you got leftovers and you got to keep buying more. Yeah, it's...
The whole gift card concept is bullshit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's fucked up.
Let's hope that Battlefield doesn't do something like that. I don't really think they have issues with that. I mean, they have like the battle packs or whatever, I think. Mm-hmm. But I really hope, like... I know the money's going to call EA and like suck them into wherever they go to. I just, for the sake of like the people who actually would play the game, just please don't, like, just stop.
EA gonna EA. That's how they work.
Yeah. Which brings me into the next topic. All I really, really, really want is just a polished game at launch. I feel like that should go without saying. But you have to say it.
I know. It sucks. Right? Like, the last couple years have just been, like, you get a release, and then servers are crashing, maps won't load, guns are OP, riddled with hackers. Like, there's always something.
Rubber banding.
Yeah, rubber banding. I really, like, they really need, like, this is EA's and DICE's last chance. Like, we held out for Battlefield 5, and it was just absolute dog shit. And Battlefield 1 was kind of eh. I feel like DICE kind of peaked in like Battlefield 3, between 3 and 4. And it's just kind of been like a steady decline. And then like Battlefield 5, like it was just a lot of broken trust, a lot of empty promises. This is their last chance. Like, if they fuck this up, they're done. And like, that's why I'm really like, I really want this game to be awesome. Because... this is it. Like, this is their last chance.
You kind of need them as not like a villain or an anti-hero, but you just need them to offset like the Call of Duty crowd. I don't want to say it's like bad. Like, I play both, right? But it's also like you need kind of competition though. You can't just let everything be Call of Duty because then it just gets worse in a way. You get way OP shit and all that kind of stuff just snowballs.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also argue that I think like DICE EA had this like, instead of a single peak, I think they had two. I think they did really well with Battlefield 3. Then they kind of stumbled with Battlefield 4, but they did come back because now it's like, at least at the later stages, it was a pretty polished game. And it was, they kind of figured it out and like, hey, sorry guys, we'll make it better.
Took a few updates.
And then Battlefield 1 and then Battlefield 5, right? They produced a decent game with 1, but it just kind of fell because people didn't really want it, which sucks.
Yeah, and didn't Battlefield 1 come after Call of Duty did World War II?
Yes.
So I feel like a lot of the attention was on slightly more futuristic warfare. I know it's future is subjective between World War I and World War II, but you go back to, what is it, bayonets?
Yeah.
And horses.
Yeah, it's kind of not as, like, I can see why, because we're kind of running out of wars. We gotta start making some up.
Right.
And, like, we've beaten the America versus Russia horse, like, a million times, and so, like, we're running out of this shit. Yeah, we're running out of factions, and so, like, no one's done Civil War yet. I really hope no one ever does Civil War, because that's gonna suck.
Dude, Civil War would be so lit, you kidding? I would love to fire a musket, miss by 20 yards, and then sit down and reload. Have to reload it all with just fire coming at me and shit blowing up. Like, yeah, you know, if I get shot in the leg, like, just come over here, Doc, chop it off. Like, we're all going to die of disease anyway. I mean, we got to be historical about this, damn it.
Yeah.
Which kind of might be, because I remember seeing an article that said the next announcement for the upcoming Battlefield game will be divisive amongst fans. And whether that means a remake, which is something that we don't want, or they're going in futuristic territory, which is not necessarily what people are expecting. If they do something like that, it would actually give a break for World War I, World War II, stuff that we're already kind of used to, modern warfare, which might be a refreshing change of pace. But we can only wait and see. Hopefully next month we'll get a teaser or... something a little bit some meat on its bones for us to chew on.
I'm pretty sure we're gonna get a teaser of like the full trailer at E3. Like we'll get the teaser next month, just showing like, I don't know, tank treads or something. I don't know. And then it'll be like full reveal at E3, whatever. And then
slow fade, wait for black,
and then yeah, it'll fade to black, and then you'll hear like a megalodon or something. I don't know. And then I'll just cut.
Or you'll hear just like a reload animation or something, or like running, like
a ping of a headshot. Man, if they made Bad Company 3, I would lose my mind.
Yeah, that would
be rad.
That would be great, actually. You want to really bring people back? Yeah.
Yeah.
It has to be something new, though. There's no way like it's not something new, just because that's like Call of Duty made that hot, and like they know that that's more popular, and that's just kind of the way that it's gonna have to go. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna do a little rant here, because I would really expect, or I really hope, that they would do a Battlefield Vietnam again, but like a true Vietnam one,
not a DLC.
But not the DLC, because like that was cool as a map, but
I liked it. I thought they did really well with it.
I played a little bit of it.
It was fun. We did play a bit.
It's just I kind of want more of like a. I want it to be more of like a.
Expanded
Battlefield version, yeah, more of an expanded Battlefield version of it rather than just a skin of a map. It's just that it's so hard to do. Like, knowing history like I do, that's just such a tough thing to actually make like good in terms of video games, because it's not a full, you know, army versus army type war that's everything's kind of equal before you start. It's historically, it was so much different, but I would still love to see it because it's relatively untouched for most games.
Yeah,
I find that to be like, I'm not sure why, probably because of that it's not easy to make, you know, good guys bad guys. But I, you know, I'd still like to see it. There's so many opportunities that you could force that, you could make that happen, and then also just kind of have fun with it in different ways, because you have this confluence of some modern-ish technology in the stuff that you can do versus like the World War II era stuff. Like, we're still dropping iron bombs at airplanes. Like, you know, you can really make that. Yeah, you can make a progression. You can go from iron bombs to, like, you know, a laser-guided weapons later. And that would be totally accurate historically. It would be a lot of fun because it's a good progression. And I just feel like it's a good kind of melding of those two genres that we keep talking about. Like, oh, they have to choose between modern or old or whatnot, whichever one's going to be better. You know, if you choose something that's kind of more melded and have some fun with the idea, you could get something good out of it. But unfortunately, we'll probably never see it.
I'm pretty flexible on the idea of whatever they choose to do. I would be a little wary if they did like alternate history, though. What if the Germans won, and then
what would it be like?
Wolfenstein already did that. Like,
it'd be Occupation Simulator. Like, ooh,
and it's like, ooh, now we have hover tanks and all this Nazi technology.
I love the alternate history stuff, by the way. It's like always just random ass like modern vehicles and modern stuff just with a Nazi flag on it. Like, they really did. They never tried. Yeah, it's a cool futuristic thing. Just put a Nazi flag on it.
They're just a little full of themselves. But with it being on next-gen hardware, because it's going to be on the next-gen console. I shouldn't say next-gen anymore. Current-gen consoles.
Yeah.
Currently out of stock, Jen.
Currently out of stock. We have more potential for bigger matches, and something that's on the table that is a possibility is a matchmaking game with 128 people. So 64 on 64. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think our generation, the old generation of consoles, can handle 64v64. Like, no. I think it'll be limited to 32v32 if they accommodate us as well, but I'm not holding my breath, because I mean, if you play like Operation Firestorm or like Caspian Border on Battlefield 4 and you're sniping with like a ballistic scope and you look at mountains in the distance, they're blocky as hell and it looks like shit, and like they really only polish like everything to a certain distance away from you because everything else just looks terrible and it takes way too much graphic real estate. But yeah, what they've been bragging about so far with Battlefield to be titled is that it's like on a scale never seen before. So to me, that's pretty obvious. It's going to be fucking huge, like massive maps, massive player count. And with massive maps and massive player count, you need a massive GPU.
This so, is the problem.
Yeah.
Don't you need a lot of like memory too?
I mean, yeah.
Well, you need everything, but
I mean, games are now like 100 gigs minimum, so you're probably going to need a fat drive.
This game is going to be massive when it comes out. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be so huge. It's gonna be
like 100 gigs.
They just need to optimize it, and this kind of leads to my next point. Don't have a campaign. You don't need it. Yeah, nobody cares.
I like the campaign. I kind of like the campaign.
Fuck you, Grant. Nobody else cares.
You're vetoed.
It's kind of fun. Like, I don't know. You to play army for a little bit, you know? I don't know.
Sure. Campaigns are fun, but I think they need to focus their budget on multiplayer because that's where the replayability is. Like, no one's going to play Battlefield 4's campaign and be like, wow, I can't wait for the next campaign. No. You play the campaign, you never touch it again, you hop on multiplayer, and you spend the rest of your life doing that.
It's true. That's kind of where we're going.
They just need to scrap it and divert their resources and everything to multiplayer. Like, Call of Duty did that. I think it was with Black Ops 4. One of the Call of Duties did it, and they scrapped their campaign, and it was fine. Nobody cared. Because no one's invested in the campaigns.
I feel like this would be fine, too.
And I think the thing is that, like, when they made the Battlefield 5 campaign, or when they were advertising Battlefield 5, they took a lot of video from the campaign where things could be beautifully rendered, and, mm-hmm. you know, facial animations are super, like, you see the pores and everything. That's taken Frostbite from, David. That's like, it's like campaign is a way that they can flex their graphic skills. But I think they just need to cut the bullshit. No campaign. Nobody, name one character from any Battlefield campaign that is not Bad Company.
Damn it.
Got
me.
Yeah.
Exactly. The soldier who dies every time.
The guy who looks like Joey in Battlefield 4.
the loading screen? No.
Tony Hawk from the
Tony Hawk.
Yeah, no, they should just scrap it. It'll save them like 60, 70 gigs or some shit. I don't know. I don't know how that shit works. But
divert the resources that you would take to make a single player game to refine the multiplayer so it's actually playable at launch.
Yeah. Instead of hiring writers and storytellers, get more programmers and technical whatever the fuck, developers. I don't know. Just anybody to help polish and make sure that it's on launch.
Playing a little bit of devil's advocate here, I do actually, even though I didn't play any of 5's single player, I did like how in 5 and Battlefield 1, they did do the little, like, small story nuggets.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
That was kind of interesting because that way you had an idea that you can develop just enough to justify it, but not spend an entire 12 hours stretching out. So I could see how that was a turn in the right direction for something that they could do in single player. But again, I just didn't care enough to want this again.
That's a good point. I really like the whole the little like nuggets of like pre-match when you were loading in, mm-hmm. and it would like tell you kind of like the history of what this battle was or something like that. I did actually really enjoy those now that I think about it. So that would be a good way to tell maybe an overarching story. Like, I don't know. I don't think Overwatch has a story, but like you guys seem to know so much lore about it, and I'm just like, shit,
there's
a story just with lore and multiplayer. Why not just do that too? Like, that's pretty easy because all you need is a social media account and the game.
Yeah, but having realistic like human being lore is far less interesting than like Destiny lore or Overwatch lore, where characters are super colorful and vibrant and really diverse. Having you, me, and somebody else, who cares?
Yeah, like I could give a fuck about this is Private Jackson. He is a sniper and he
survived the war on whatever and used his last bullet to kill whatever. Like,
I mean, cool. I wasn't really thinking character wise for this, but I guess you guys make a good point. Like, I was definitely not thinking character wise. Sorry for bringing it up and getting shit on.
Let me tell you more why you're wrong.
And this is Winston. He's a monkey raised on the moon.
Yeah,
hello.
People are different. I'm talking about like, oh, maybe tell me more about this weapon, tell me more about the locale or why it's happening. I don't know, you know, anything but the people.
You're just a history buff. You want to learn that shit. We don't. We're just fucking.
Man, I like being immersed in it. I need to know why the fuck are we. Why is this dam blowing up right now? Other than we blew it up. Like, give me a reason.
I put a bunch of C4 on it, and I went click.
All right. Well, tell me why you did it. What are your motivations? What are you trying to say?
I need to be a sympathetic villain so that you love me.
Exactly.
So jumping into the next topic that has been kind of touchy. Battle Royale. It's coming. We all know it's coming. And it's coming. Again, yeah. With the entirety of Battlefield 5, Firestorm was a fucking wreck. Like,
how many times did we play it? Two times, maybe?
I think two. And it was just not fun. Like, I don't know what it was about it. I can't really find particular things to fault on it, just because we only played it twice and it just never stuck. I don't know what it was, but it just, I mean, everybody else in the community, from what I've seen, just didn't care. Like, the player base was so low that people in like Europe or like South America just couldn't find servers because no one was playing. And like, they had their own, like, Firestorm was like, oh, Criterion is developing this, and you know, they're putting all their resources into this, and it's got its own trailer, and they didn't make it free to play, which is a huge mistake, because Warzone is like, you cannot go up against Warzone at this point, because it's free, and everyone plays it, and it's fun.
It was polished at launch.
And it was polished at launch. It was pretty polished at launch. I wouldn't say it was perfect.
And they have a storyline, technically, and that shit keeps developing. But
It sucks.
But I feel like, I don't know, this is an opportunity. I know they're probably going to have it because they're not really innovative like that. But it would be really interesting to see if they would use this as an opportunity going forward to create a different game mode. Like, the whole Battle Royale thing was revolutionary with like PUBG and shit. What if they like make a different game mode that like somehow works with their game better, that kind of launches a new thing? Mm-hmm. I think that would be neat. I think there's an opportunity for that, or at least try it. Like, if it falls flat, it falls flat. Who cares? But
so, Grant, you're very right. The only problem is that takes money and time when you could just be pulling something that is already successful.
Why not just wash this turd and put it back on the table? Damn it!
Just make 100 versus 100. Put them on a huge map. Done.
See, I don't know about that. So we brought this up earlier, and like, the big match size, while I don't like it in theory, in practice, it's actually going to suck. Like, think about how many times you've played Metro and somebody, like, a squad of three just gets behind you and, like, he systematically takes out all the rear guard and no one says a word to each other. There's so much coordination that needs to happen with a big battle that I feel like it's going to break down incredibly quickly into just these little small skirmishes and little different places.
Maybe that might be what draws people to it. But
maybe, because I remember Fortnite had a 50v50 and it was pretty fun because like, you had people that could get you up because there's 50 of you. Mm-hmm. And like, there was more of a you get a second chance kind of deal, which is, I think, why Warzone is so appealing to me, because I'm fucking dying all the time and I can get rezzed or go to the gulag. And if I fail the gulag, I can still get revived, which is why I like Warzone so much. So
I like the big map and like player base for that reason. I feel like most people don't play collectively enough. I don't know, when's the last time you played Battlefield 5? Like, when's the last time anyone did anything other than just like sweat and get kills? Like, no one fucking helps you. No one actually plays the game. No one works with each other. And like, if they can make that work in Battlefield, I would absolutely love it. That would be great. I have 200 people in the game. That would make it so much better, like a realistic battle. But the fact is that people are just going to ignore you. Like, what was that noise?
What's that noise? Yeah, I think what Battlefield 6 should emphasize is that like, taking objectives over kills. Like, maybe you get more points by taking objectives as opposed to getting kills, or
that could be really fun.
Some kind of incentive to PTFO, because a lot of people just kind of do their own thing and just farm kills and it's meh. So like, if I recall correctly, if you play with a commander on Gold Mud Railway, if you capture F, you get an AC-130.
Yeah,
like, that's huge incentive to play the objective.
Usually like the middle point of the map, whatever you capture.
Yeah, the most. So, I think that'd be if they had something like that, that'd be awesome.
Maybe something like after you take the objective, if you hold the objective, you actually get points for that rather than just the enemy's ticker going down. Like that's a good enough incentive, but like now in order to eliminate just like the kills all the time, just like take the objective, you took it, you get like the 200 points or however much it was, and then you get like an extra like ticker that keeps going and the longer you hold it. So you have an incentive to go back and retake it and hold it and keep it going up.
And that encourages more people to defend it, and the opposing team more people to attack it as well, especially if you're getting resources. Maybe, because I know if at, I think it's F, I'm not sure what the letter is, but on that same map, there's an artillery truck that spawns. And so whoever's ca is capturing it, they can just spawn directly in it, which is, incentive to capture and hold.
At some of those games, that's a good advantage. And I think some of them have like extra aircraft as well. So if you're getting absolutely dominated by some guy in a fighter, like you get two of them, now you can work.
These are all really good ideas, especially the fact that when we play Battlefield, we don't do PvP. We always do the objective-based stuff, conquest, domination. The only problem is that
Request order, request order, shut the fuck up.
the only problem is that the more we're talking about this, the more we're talking about vehicles, planes, objective-based, we're just talking about multiplayer, like the standard multiplayer. We're not talking about Battle Royale anymore. So
That's
there
a good
would be a
point.
really tough way to balance all of this. Especially when you're adding planes into a battle royale where you can just crash and die immediately and you lost your life.
And nobody can res you because you just flew a jet across the goddamn country.
And the thing about battle royales, and I think this is what plays into the popularity of things, battle royales are a lot more fun to watch on Twitch,
Oh, yeah.
Facebook, YouTube, whatever you're streaming on. It is way more fun to watch someone survive to be the last person standing than it is to just watch them play Search and Destroy. Like, and especially with COVID the last year, like Twitch's numbers have like fucking quadrupled. And so all that free viewership for these games, especially when they're free, they draw in more people to go to the stores and buy bundles and make money. Twitch has probably made Activision like a lot of their money.
That's a good point. Is that just a more of a description of the gaming industry as a whole? Is that just kind of like where the money is, where everyone wants to be right now? Is that
I
was
mean,
that
it's
why
working.
they're
I think it's
interested?
just
No, I
spreading.
don't deny that it's working. I'm just kind of curious.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that just watch, random streamers, and they're just like, damn, they make like when I watch the Doc play in Warzone, I'm like, fuck, like I want to like he makes it look so easy. I want to play Warzone with my boys because he's always like squadding up with people and always want to play with my boys, and that's the streamer effect. Like it makes you want to play it, and it brings me to the store to buy shit.
That is a strong feedback loop right there. It's a
Yeah.
free advertisement. Oh, this guy's
Exactly.
playing this really fun looking game. I should play this fun looking game. Oh,
Exactly.
he has this stuff. I should buy this stuff because I'm not good enough to get it,
But it's, I mean, they had Firestorm, so they have the bones to bring it over
True.
with relative ease. They probably have to make a new map altogether and a few fine tunings and some reworks, but I think that was one of the big problems and why it didn't work out because it didn't come out at launch either.
True.
So
And
that's another factor I think they need to take into consideration.
I think another big thing was that it wasn't free to play. Like when Warzone was free to play, that immediately like Fortnite, Apex Legends, and now Warzone, all free. And so if you want to compete with the top dogs, you gotta also let it go for free. Like I'm sure that that probably bleeds them dry, and they probably lose money on that, but you
It's an
gotta.
investment that can really pay off.
That's like the baseline is making it free. Because that's how you get people to join it. Like, it's free. What do I have to lose?
I have played all of those games because they were free.
Exactly.
I'd be surprised if they didn't make it free, just because of those reasons.
Yeah, they've had a lot of time to learn off of what the Kings are doing. And like if they fuck up, there's like no excuse at this point. Like we've told them what we want. And that kind of leads to my next point is that DICE needs crystal clear open communication with the community because for example in when Battlefield 5 was released, I don't remember how long after release it was, but they made some changes to TTK or Time to Kill, and everybody on the Battlefield 5 subreddit was like, don't do this. This is a terrible idea. Nobody wants this. And I remember they did it because it was around Christmas, and so they wanted to change the time to kill a little bit so that people that are the newcomers are a bit more comfortable playing, and it's not so like getting dominated by veterans, right? And so they changed it, and it was fucking awful, just like we said. And it took them like another month to revert it. And that post of them reverting it is like the number one post on Battlefield 5. Like, holy shit, they finally came through. But they didn't listen in the first place, which is heartbreaking because it was like unanimous. Don't do this. This is a terrible idea. And they said, fuck you. We're doing it anyways. Enjoy.
Mm-hmm. We know better than you because we programmed it. Like, yeah. Fucking bullshit. You don't play it.
And it's the same thing right now, it's kind of with Warzone, because what they'll do is they'll release a new gun, make it OP as fuck. Right now, they release two guns. I forgot what it's called. But they're two automatic pistols that you can akimbo, well. 80-round drums, and it's you might as well have a minigun. Like, it is shredding everything in Warzone. It's the meta, and people are fucking sick of it. And, like, Ravensoft is just... like, they don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done this plenty of times before. They'll release guns. They're super OP. And then, like, weeks later, after it's been crystal clear that the gun is broken and being taken advantage of, they'll make some changes to it, and then they'll release a new gun and do the same rinse and repeat. And it's so goddamn annoying. Luckily, I don't play Warzone too often, so I'm not bothered by this kind of shit. But seeing everything on the subreddits, watching the doc play, it's just a madhouse, and it fucking sucks.
Yeah, even a good buddy of ours who was really into Warzone, he's like, yeah, it's all about the meta now, and it's really... really a big letdown now.
Yeah.
Because if you're not using those good weapons, then you're not going to win.
Yeah, it ruins the factor of being unique. Like, you have, oh, this is my Kilo, and I got, like, a 3X on it, and, you know, this barrel attachment, and it's like, mine. This is my gun. I put my camo on it. This is me. But everyone's using the AUG or the M16 or mm-hmm. the FFAR or the new pistols, and so it's like... nothing's unique anymore, and so it's just...
why even have the other guns at that point? Like, yeah, what's the point?
Is it even fun anymore? It sucks. And so, like...
I feel like it definitely sucks the fun out of the game. Like, why... you know, when there's no point in doing anything differently, like, you're just mindlessly doing the same shit. Well, that's not fun.
Mm-hmm. And so, DICE needs to have, like, very open communication and be like, if something's broken, they fix it, like, in a week or two. Like, it's gotta be... like, they need to put all their eggs in this basket because this is their last, like, rise to fame, hopefully. And so they need to hire, like, a good community manager and some devs that can get in contact that doesn't take weeks, and just be honest with the player base and just let them know what's going on. And if something's broken, like, own up to it. In Battlefield 5, they had a community manager, I think his username was like Braddock or something. He was awesome. Like, people were just like, this shit's fucking broken. He's like, all right, I'll forward it on and tell the team. And he was like mature about it too, which was great. But they gave up support like a year later, and now it's like dead, and that sucks. I want that kind of communication in the next Battlefield game because they need to listen. Like, that's their weakest point is listening to the fan base. And so... we know what we want, so please let us have what we want.
That's a good point to make. Like, it's funny how they take on this persona of like, oh, I made it, so I know the best, and I can do everything on my own. It's like, no, like, let us kind of figure it out. We can tell you what the problem is. It's not like a beta tester, but it's kind of the same concept. Like, we can tell you what the issue is, so we can help. We want to help.
Yeah.
Money, 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 money.
Yeah. It sucks because it's like we all want it to do well, but it's EA.
Yeah.
And money. And like, that's like, I get it. Like, it's these are people's jobs. They got to get paid for it, sure. And like,
they don't want to move it.
It just shut the fuck up, Chris. But yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I really want to see him do well, but I do also understand that, like, hey, you got to make money on this. There's always that cost factor involved. I kind of wish there wasn't, because that would create something better for the community, but I just hope they don't sell out. It seems like most of the things they've been doing in the past few years has just been complete selling out, whereas there's a difference between making money and completely selling out to just, like, the easiest thing.
I think that's actually one of Battlefield's strong suits, is not selling out, if that makes sense, because Battlefield 5 was supposed to have a lot more cosmetic designs,
mm-hmm.
and character customization involved, like prosthetic limbs and everything.
Yeah.
They totally pulled that out last minute mm-hmm. and did not go with that at all because they heard the fan reaction. So yeah. I have some faith that they're going to try and do what they want to do while also trying to keep the fan base happy to a degree.
It just needs to be good. The battle packs, sure, like I get it, having random loot boxes.
It's so commonplace now that it doesn't really faze me anymore, which is kind of unfortunate.
Yeah, it's
and they're like consistent enough that it's not like a super grind to get one, but it's also just nice when it shows up. And it really doesn't give you any advantage. It's just kind of like, hey, neat.
Yeah. I mean, Battlefield 5, they had like the legendary skins. I think there was like 4 or 5, maybe 6. I don't know. Less than 10. But those were like the legendary ones that were a bit more expensive than, you know, getting them in battle packs. And that's fine. I just don't want to see like people with fucking unicorn horns and like rainbows shooting out of their guns. Like, I don't want to see that shit. If you want to have like a gold gun, fine. Like, yeah. I don't care. Like, that's a Call of Duty thing to me.
And at least that has some basis in like, you played the game, like you couldn't buy a gold gun. You had to like play the game. Yeah. You had to get the 100 kills. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
I like that more because like having those objectives or those goals, especially with battle log. I don't know how often you guys use battle log, but tracking your assignments and achievements and unlocks was like awesome in battle. I love battle log. That's how I found out about like all the with certain DLCs. There's like you can unlock different equipment and like a different attachment, different pistol. You can track like all the things you need to do individually to unlock those things. So if you need like 10 headshots in the water on this map, you got to do this. And there's like a little ticker that shows you how much you need. That's awesome. I like that. Yeah. I like having things to work towards because it gives me a reason to play the game more.
Yeah.
And I don't want the thing that I'm working towards be available to just be bought. Like, to me, that delegitimizes all the work and the fun that I could be having. Because if I can turn around and be killed by somebody who just paid $200 for everything ever and is just a god in the game, that's not fun to me. Because, like, you're just somebody who paid money to get here. And all that does is remind me of the class struggle in America. And I hate that. And I'm a poor person, so I need to...
Holy shit!
You thought this would be a Battlefield video. Psych.
You are. We've all been fooled. Thank you for joining our non-video game podcast.
That's it. Bye.
Bye, everyone. Everyone take the proletariat. Take their houses down now.
The last thing I was going to mention about that is that with the battle log and everything, it also helps diversify your weapon layouts and kind of encourages you to use different weapons too. Which
yes, I love that.
If everything goes well, they're all fun, you know. There's not one side or one gun or one class that you need to have to win. So kind of experiencing like, oh, I really like this gun, but this gun is actually being, I'm pretty good with it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always kind of fun to make that discovery and to roll with it.
And I appreciated how the assignments were like, it wasn't just get 5 kills with that gun. The assignments were like get 20 kills or 10 headshots or something. So you actually had to play with the weapon a lot to understand its strengths and weaknesses and figure out if you liked it or not, or at least understand what it could do.
Yeah, I think Battlefield 4 did that pretty well, where it was just like, you know, get 5 C4 kills on this map. But Battlefield 5 was like, get 20 kills on the objective in one game.
And they're all headshots.
Yeah. They fucking
suck. While being prone.
Yeah, while being prone, exactly.
They had so many conditions. It was like, why?
Those suck, yeah. I just like the ones where it's, you get 5 kills, you get the reflex sight. You get 20 kills, you get a bipod. Great. Like, you want to use that gun more so that you can get better with it with all the attachments you're getting.
Yeah, and I remember that too because the assignments that I'm thinking of also had... It wasn't just the gun aspect of it. It was like, in order to unlock either a gun or skin or whatever, it was like you have to play the recon like a recon. You can't just snipe all game. You also need to get surveillance assists, and you also need to like do this, and you also need people to spawn on you, and you also need to kind of do your fucking job in order to get what you need to, instead of just like try hard.
Utilize the class you're being. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
exactly. And I really like that because, you know, you do shit that you never normally wouldn't do, or, you know, we'd be fucking around and I'd be like, hey, I'm working on this assignment, so like, let's all like try to help me or whatnot. And that created a lot more cohesion, I would say.
And I would say that transitioning into my next point was that the weapon customization in 4, I think, was like peak. And then in 5 and 1, it was just, I fucking hated it because everyone used the same gun in 5 and in 1. And then in Battlefield 5, it just wasn't interesting. You pick between like 3 sites, pretty much, and then you get 4 perks as you level it up. But in Battlefield 4, there's like 20 sites to choose from. And then from like the 15 guns that you get for one class, you get like all those 20 sites. And then you get like lasers, flashlights and lasers, bipods, suppressors, flash hiders, muzzle brakes, like all kinds of shit. I would almost argue that Battlefield 4 had too many, because like there's red dot or like red laser, green laser, tri-beam laser, flashlight laser combo. Like, I don't think I've ever seen anyone use the flashlight. Yeah, and so I think if they toned down Battlefield 4 just a little bit, it'd be perfect, because they had so many guns to choose from, and they arguably, like, with each class, there's probably like 3 or 4 guns that are used like almost exclusively, and the rest are just dog shit. If they could balance those guns out a bit more, that'd be perfect. I think the gunplay in Battlefield 4 is great, and if they keep the guns pretty consistent, that'd be awesome.
You're kind of touching on something that I was going to kind of think was a hot take, but maybe not so much. But like, I don't know if it's because I'm getting older and a little bit more impatient, but playing 5 and Battlefield 1, I remember just being really fatigued with the amount of options that I had for guns in general. I don't know if that's just me, but I was like, this is too many. Like, I don't know what half of this is. I just kind of want a good handful to choose from. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but
I just did not like the Battlefield 1 guns, just because it was like, when you select a gun, it shows like 4 of this same gun. And this one's like trench. Grant, help me out. There was like 2 others. Like
3 attachments or whatever.
Yeah, and they're like, this one comes with a dot sight, or this one comes with a bayonet on it, and this one has slightly less hip fire, but they don't like tell you directly. And so it's kind of hard, because it's the same gun repeated 4 times with just a different suffix, and so you're just like, what the fuck is the difference between all 4 of these? They looked exactly the same, and so it's not very clear what it is. And then because it's the same gun repeated 4 times, same gun repeated 4 times, same gun, you only have like 5 guns to pick from that class, and people only use like 1 or 2, and so it's like, again, the same gun all over the battlefield. It's not as like personalized to me.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Thanks for reminding me of like one of the bad parts about that game. But I also remember Battlefield 4, John didn't even touch on the camos. Dude, the camos were like 40 per gun. And
oh yeah,
like, at least to me, 40. That's actually like, I would like to sacrifice a little bit of attachments for that, because I don't need 10 lasers, but there's enough people playing that like 40 or 50 camos is fine. Just let me unlock a few and let me like, you know, work through that one. Because that ultimately doesn't hurt anything. But I also like the idea of having the attachments, at least the multiple sites, because that's what annoyed the shit out of me about 1 and 5, was that you got 3 sites to choose from and everybody used the same ones. But yeah, because it was the best one. Whereas in like 3 and 4, you could run with like a holo site that gave you better advantages on like guns that moved a lot versus like a really, like a dot sight that was the super small guns. Like, there was a reason the sight existed in real life, which is what played into the advantage, which gave you in the game as well. It wasn't just arbitrary.
And the thing about the sights is that it was pretty similar to how everyone uses the same gun. I feel like in regarding the sights, a lot of people use the same Cobra dot sight. Like, that is so popular. Either the Reflex, the Cobra, or the, I can't remember the third one. But those were like the most used. Like, I don't think the amount of like 4x scopes that I've seen, it's like nothing compared to the just dot sights, because those, it just felt like there's less recoil on the dot, on the single dot sights. But if you had like an ACOG, the only reason that you'd want that is because so that you can see farther, not necessarily so that your recoil kind of matches and it's a bit more steady. But like, you could easily just rock a red dot sight and still like laser people from 100 yards away, especially if you're just tapping it. Oh man,
because your field of view, like, it was such a more
that too
a versatile sight, because it was just kind of little and it was just like, this, here's where you're shooting. Whereas I've noticed that, so like going back to like why those scopes or those sights exist in real life is because I think the ACOG is more of a, I'm peeking over this and I want to use the sight to look down, and like, I'm not using the sight to fire, I'm using the sight to like scope things out.
Yeah.
That's why it's versatile. Whereas in game, people don't do that. They just, you know, it's a 2D screen. You see shit 100 miles away, just pick it off with a red dot. Tech, tech.
There were some maps, I think it was in 3 and 4, where it was actually beneficial to use the infrared sight. Yeah. Because it was really dark, or like there was a lot of snow. And I remember that being a plus for me playing those, because it incentivized using the different loadouts.
Yeah.
The amount of times I was killed with an infrared scope when using the scope was, or smoke, was definitely like, I know why they were using it, and I felt like I was changing the game, which was fun.
Shoot, they're adapting.
It would be like, every time, I'd just be popping smoke everywhere, just dodging bullets, then I'd die. I'd be like, what the fuck? And I'd see they have an infrared scope. Like, you asshole, you're the only one that can see me.
Quick side note transition. Battlefield 6 better have an M320 smoke, and it better be one hit kill. Anyways.
I'm talking to you right now, DICE. We need this.
You will lose a star if you don't add it.
Right, I'm threatening a review from somebody who doesn't matter at all. That's right. Listen up.
So anyways, the melee system.
God,
that's also another thing. When Battlefield 3 was released, or when they released the trailer for it, and they showed that first melee, I remember specifically it was on Metro, and they were knifing a Russian engineer, I think. And he, like, I think he was kneeling, and he like turned him and he stabbed him, and I was like, holy shit, like, that is the first time, to my knowledge, where that they have done that, like, outside of like Assassin's Creed, but we're gonna, like, that's not even the same realm. But
yeah,
because with other games it's like, you know, you knife, you lunge, whatever, or you melee, one hit kill, whatever. But this one's like, you get new animation, you knife them, take their tags, and you're just like, holy shit, like, he, like, that was like personal, like, that was humiliating.
Very intimate.
Yeah, very, that's a good, yeah, intimate. And so once that hype kind of wore off, you're really just like, man, this system's kind of broken, because like, I'll get up behind somebody and then they'll turn around and kill me, because you just like, you just cut them,
a hit marker from behind.
Yeah, if they have a more consistent melee system where if you're behind them, that's just an instant kill and you're not just like whack. Because I've had that happen before, because sometimes in, I think it was Battlefield 1, I was behind somebody with a knife and I was like, hit, didn't work, hit, didn't work, and they turned around and just mowed me down.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they kind of refine that a little bit.
I think that has more to do with like the distance between, like, there's probably such a small distance between the person that they're like, oh, we can't give away knives, you're 20 feet away. Yeah.
Especially if you're like an inch above them, or if they're an inch above you, it's just not going to work, period. Yeah.
I mean, that's just programming stuff, which also leads us directly into John's favorite also subject about Melee is the counter knife system and how bullshit that can be.
I did it once, and it was actually like 2 months ago was the first time I ever did it. For reference, we always play 4 at this point. We don't even touch Battlefield 1 or Battlefield 5.
Was it an accident?
It was very telegraphed. But it just goes back to polish. Like, the knifing system, what we see in trailers looks really good, but what we get in real life, the audio's cut out, it doesn't like kind of cling on to the enemy, it doesn't trigger correctly, like,
yeah,
it needs to be good, it needs to be clean and crisp for it to work out. Yeah, it needs to be like a trailer.
I can't
remember Battlefield 3's being like that, actually. Like, with the, you know, instances of the differences in that part. But when it did work, it worked.
Mm.
Yeah, and, like, it's still a very broken system. Because I can remember, shout out to the JDon channel, there was a video where...
once every podcast episode.
Yeah, got to, because, you know, it's alive and thriving.
Stuff.
There was one glitch where, like, you know, there's... here's guy number one, here's guy number two, let's say he's facing this way. He will go up to this guy, do the, you know, hit the melee thing, and this guy can walk away, and then he'll teleport to him, and like the animation like caught up almost like a rubber band thing, which was a huge issue in 3 and 4, because I mean, even if it's not knifing, if you're driving an LAV and you like you're going full speed and you like clip a curb, you'll keep going, but then like half a second later you teleport back, you never made it past that curb, and so you're just sitting there like wheel spinning, not going anywhere. So I hope that's something that they fix in the next one as well.
I also loved when you'd hit something, like you hit a telephone pole in the jet or something, and like most of the pieces of your airplane would go this way, but the explosion would be way out here, and like one part or a couple parts would stay on the pole and just like you stuck there for a few seconds.
Yeah, and then a moment of collision error.
Yeah.
It was always great because it was usually like the landing gear or something like random. It's like, okay. Like,
yeah. Which segues into the next part. Vehicles need to be nerfed in some way, shape, or form, because in 4, if you get a 140 shit bucket and you put him in an attack helicopter, even if he's by himself, he just goes to the top of the map, switches to the passenger, and just snipes people because it's that easy. There need to be, like, I would say, obviously just nerf the vehicles in some way, but also provide ground forces with more ways to take them down, because, I mean, we've all played games together. There's plenty of times where, you know, a jet is dominating a game. You know, he does a strafing run, and then you lock on, and you fire, and he's got his chaff or whatever, and he drops that, and then just keeps flying a mile away. You can't lock onto him. Then he comes back. His chaff is reloaded. So have you, but you got to, like, get a whole Stigler squad to take one person down. That sucks, because there's just so easy to get away from it.
Yeah. I'm the server admin. Don't kill me or you get booted.
Yeah.
But have fun.
Yeah.
You know, I agree with
you. You want to go ahead, Grant?
Yeah, just because I was, I'll jump on with the aircraft stuff at least. I do agree. It needs like a little bit of nerfing, but like it's kind of weird because I'm one of those people that's a bit on the fence about it. Because yes, I hate it when it's happening to me in game, but also it's a very realistic outcome of having an attack helicopter against the ground forces who have no anti-air defense. That's kind of why air vehicles in real life are very overpowered, and that's what they do. So in one way it's working as designed, but it's also like bad for gameplay.
Yeah,
because it's as what you said, you know, the Igla and the Stinger have like in real life they have a lock-on range of like 3 to 4 miles. That's a lot. That is the entire map in Battlefield for the most part.
And
right?
More, yeah,
but in the game it's like 100 feet. It's like, all right, you got him in the stick the whole time. You're just like, oh, I'm just watching this guy just do loops. He's coming back. And he's like, I've got this guy dead to rights, and I have to wait until he gets like just right there. By that time, he knows who's shooting at him, and he's just lasering me. And I'm like, great, I can't even lock on before he hits me.
I play Animal Crossing to pull weeds for fun. I don't like pulling weeds in real life. But I do agree with you, John. I think that maybe not necessarily nerfing the vehicles, but at least giving each class a defensive or an offensive option for vehicles, because 90 to 95% of the game that I play in Battlefield 4 is an engineer class, specifically because it has RPGs.
Yep, 100%.
If
you have to have it, class vehicles,
I'd be much more spread out, more even.
Yeah, shooting down choppers is like slaying a king. It feels so good. Because it takes way more skill, I'd say, on your part to shoot them down, especially if they're flying all over the place and shit's blowing up all around you and you're getting shot by ground forces. It's a different feeling.
Way more payoff, too. Like, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, when we all scream in the mic, we're all screaming.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
And it's just great. You know, it's also for me, it's also like the peace and quiet after the screaming when you're all getting your breath back and there's no fucking annoying helicopter sound and shit blowing up around you. It's like, oh, look, now we could maneuver.
Oh, it's not clarity.
I mean, I want to see some good vehicles just because that's what they do well. And I want to see a good balance, but I also want to see some more creativity with them.
Mm-hmm.
Going as far as like maybe jets or something, I'd like to see a dumb bomb that is fairly effective. And I also want to see one thing that annoyed me was that like sometimes you guys would be fighting an objective or whatnot, and I could see it through the little like forward looking infrared on jet, I could see the objective, I could see you guys, but I couldn't lock on to anything. And it was like, well, I don't need to lock on. I just need to put the pipper on that and tell it to laze the target and then have it hit that target. Like, that would be nice to just mark a spot and drop.
Mark and spark.
And same thing with like they maybe like use that as a spotting thing for the tanks and whatnot to just say, you know, my squad mate has marked this hillside. This is where we need the rounds. Like, now you're working with real artillery helping your ground forces rather than just like, oh, tank, shoot the tank. Oh, vehicle, shoot the vehicle, you know?
Yeah, I would love that because like there's almost every game, like we're on the ground, Grant's in the sky, being the natural pilot he is, and I'll be like, oh, there's a tank right here, and Grant's like, where? Like, even if we spot it, it doesn't always show up. And so I wish like there was a way I could be like right here, like if I get like a laser or something and just laze it and be like, just drop ammunition right here and you'll get a kill. Like that's all I want. I can't be like, oh, he's like above C, but like a little bit, but he's not quite to B. He's somewhere in between. He's by the thing. Like
I'm passing over at fucking 400 knots because I have to avoid everyone shooting at me. And I'm like, last second, I'm in the bank looking out. I'm like, oh yeah, there he is. By the time I turn around, he's completely gone and or I'm shot down.
Yeah. That's
And
those are the battlefield moments that you want.
exactly. And that's what we're describing is like, you want to make a game that's like distinct from Call of Duty and shit. Well, that's kind of real life shit. That's more immersion is this is the target. I have marked it for you. Hit it. Here's the lays. Here's the smoke. Here's literally anything other than like, oh, it's kind of the spot that like, you know, the spotting system just does not work. It just hasn't worked since Battlefield 3, and it annoys the fuck out of me because in real life, you spot shit and you hit the spot. Doesn't matter if there's anyone there. You spot it and it stays there. God damn it. Every time I'm flying in the jet, I'm like, cool, tag the tank, turn around, where's the tank? Like, I just tagged it. I just had it a minute ago.
Yeah, Battlefield 5 had that system where you could actually ping a location, but like I don't know if it was just me, but if you're in a plane, you cannot see that shit from.
You can see anything in
Yeah,
the plane. You are
it
just
blended
jumping
in
through a
really
windshield.
well. Yeah, it was bad.
I'm always like constantly mashing the
Man.
spot button to because you only have like so many presses before it goes on a cooldown,
Yeah.
and you only
Can't
like
just
one or
spam it.
two things at a time, so I just spam it. So I kind of hope that they reinvent the spotting system, or at least keep it a ping system that's more like universally like
Yeah.
visual in vehicles, ground, whatever you're doing,
Yeah.
something
I think
quiet.
if they just kept it as like tap to spot like targets and the spot Dorito stays with them for like I don't know 5 to 10 seconds and then just hold it down to do like a hard spot or something and just be like this hill, light this hill up. 'Cause you can't like I don't know if you can't see the actual people on the hill, just mark the hill itself. That'd be awesome.
And like I'm not asking for a totally realistic like simulation here. I'm just asking for something a little more versatile because it's impossible to spot things when you're going fast. It's almost impossible to, and this is actually a good thing to have. But the graphics that you see are like so visually cluttered and they look great. They look absolutely fantastic. You feel like, you know, you see the vegetation, but there's so much clutter that like you're taking away the concept of a spot. If you can't make it easier for generic people to get, I'm not a trained soldier. I'm not a trained, you know, fighter pilot. I can't see that spot from all of my equipment in the airplane. And visually, if you don't give me something kind of to help me out, you know?
Moving on to the next thing I wanted to cover. There's a few more before we jump into our next sort of segment. Battlefield 5 introduced a down but not out system that I really fucking hate. And I really don't
Oh
want
yeah.
to. Yeah, when you die, you just kind of sit there and either bleed out or wait for someone to come get you. There's been so many times where I'm just like, I'm like a mile away from anybody, but I have to just sit there and be like,
Especially like
oh,
rock back and forth.
like
Like, yeah, you
I
feel like
hate that. It's
you
so
can
it's such a time waster, but I can see how it's like, oh, I can wait for Grant and I can hold my hand. I'll be like, fucking, I'm dying over here. Come get me. Like I get that, but there's times where I don't want to. I just bleed it out because I can't. There's no feasible way to be revived, so just fucking end it. I hate it.
Maybe if they make it into a game type, like segment it off to not every bit of multiplayer, but like this is a certain game type where you can play it down with a not down but not out, and it will incorporate more into the mechanic of the game type,
Like
and
Breakout,
then yeah, something.
like a limited, like you have maybe 16 or 32 or however many, you know, players on one side, Like, if you die, you die. Like, you can have medics and you can revive your squad mates and shit, but if you die, you die. So now you have an incentive to like hold on to that, and you have an incentive to stick with your team or your squad to go do that.
I think it's just in Battlefield 3 and 4 where it's just they're dead, and if you want to res them, that's fine. If you don't, they'll just respawn. But this one, you gotta like, you get shot. You gotta look at the sun for like 5 seconds, and then you die. And then you gotta wait 5 seconds to respawn. It just takes too long, and it's just
Like
not fun.
20 seconds.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
Yeah, no.
I see that as like an original like penalty for playing, I guess, or dying or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, you betrayed your teammate. Here's your penalty for betraying them, not for just dying normally.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it seems excessive. I mean, I know it's probably to keep people from doing super Lone Ranger stuff, but like, who cares in a way?
And I get it. Like, I get the immersion of like, pick me up. It just
Yeah.
didn't, I don't think it worked out very well because you're
It's neat. I just
forced to
don't see
wait.
it every time.
Yeah. Even if you rush it, you still have to wait and watch yourself bleed out and go, and it's just not, it ruins the immersion for me. I just didn't like it.
Playing a video game, not watching Saving Private Ryan. If I want to go see that shit, I'll watch the movie.
Yeah. The next thing I wanted to discuss was a bold move from Battlefield 3 to 4 was the introduction of the commander, which we talked about a little bit earlier. I thought the commander was awesome. Awesome integration in Battlefield 4. I think the biggest selling point of it was the fact that it was on tablets. Like, you could play a
Yes.
Battlefield game in class on your tablet and just call in cruise missiles and AC-130s and UAVs, and you could do it from like a plane if you wanted to. It was awesome. It was
There was a kid I went to college with who would do that. Like, he'd be in class with me, just like playing Commander, like, writing notes and shit. I'm like, dude, what the hell?
yeah, I did that shit.
Yeah,
It was so awesome.
it's
It's yeah, I did that playing in class with Chris. But it was a shame they discontinued it. But it was
trying to
just
get
it.
it though, because it's hard to make it fun,
Yeah,
and
because
it's very
yeah.
situational. Like, oh, I'm in class, I'm on the bus.
Yeah.
If I'm at home, I don't want to be commander,
Yeah.
you
Or
know.
just yeah, it's
It kind of has to exist on the tablet only in a way, because
was
yeah.
made for a tablet, like
But
yeah.
that's neat though. I like the concept. Like, if I just want to control, have some fun and mess with the battle, like, and try to help, I like that as an as a more organized structure, especially as the team sizes get bigger, having at least just some dumbass saying like, hey, let's do this. Like, okay, like now we can all agree, or we all have a command to help do this, rather than individuals trying to choose. And
Yeah, that's the thing with the commander is that it's nice that it can tell everyone like everyone get capture H objective or whatever. But one, people never do that. Two, commanders rarely do that because people aren't commander that often. Because three, it's just not very fun. Like, you get scan assists, which are fine, but they're kind of boring because it's just like push a button, scan assist +25 +25, boring. So that's why all commanders would be like capture this objective. Because I can use cruise missiles here. Please capture it so I can have fun, please. Or, get the AC-130 so I can spawn it for you and get points. But it's just, you scan, you counter UAV, you drop some supplies. But people rarely ever go for supplies because how often do you run out of ammo? Unless it's
you
like
die.
RPGs, but still. So yeah, it's again with the incentivizing of becoming commander, getting kills, being present on the battlefield. I think if they do bring it back, they gotta make a lot of changes to it.
I think they can bring it back, but I don't think it'll be such a clear divide between the two. Like, I feel like you can definitely merge both options so that you're on the field and your character in game brings up a tablet to drop a cruise missile or something, and then they put it away. Like, they can very easily integrate it without having somebody be solely commander and then somebody being solely boots on the ground.
So kind of more like a squad leader type situation. I mean, I know they have squad leaders, but that could be beneficial. Maybe you can command with the rear guard or whoever, your commander behind you, and tell them, like we were saying, mark this hillside. Like, I need artillery strike. And maybe you have a reward system as you play squad wise to unlock those things. But I like that idea. I kind of like the guys on the ground making those decisions rather than an omniscient god commander.
Because like when you're squad leader in four, you just ping where you want to attack and defend. Is there anything else that you do as squad leader that's worthwhile?
No.
So there you go. We can incentivize feeling more like you're the shot caller in the situation.
And that, again, leads to my next point about squad reinforcements. So in Battlefield 5, the squad leader can call in a V2 rocket. Fucking cool. The only problem with that is that the only problem with that is that your squad mates have no reason to get points for you because you're the only person who cashes in on that. You call in the V2 rocket, you get the 13 kills in the kill log. And so, like, sorry guys, I know I've been squad leader like every time we've played and I've always called in the V2 rockets, but like I feel bad because you guys like can't really cash in on that. Like, you can't call in a rocket, you can't call in a barrage, you can't do anything besides get me points so I can call in all the big shots, right?
And so essentially we're doing all the work for you.
I know, it's like I have slaves getting my points for me, and it sucks because I want you guys to have fun too and get V rockets. And it's just
back to the class warfare system in America. Nice.
Most importantly,
back at it.
I totally forgot about that. I feel so silly now because I was like, just incorporate both. Oh, they did.
Yeah, but it just sucks because only one person can benefit from it.
Was it also Battlefield 3 that didn't have like they didn't have the squad leader thing, but they also had the more you played as a squad, the more you got like upgrades based on that. Like you could sprint faster or you could resist more explosion damage.
Yeah, I think so.
Or get like an extra. I remember that being, or was it a? Oh, I think it was like the individual, whatever your loadout was, you could choose what your upgrade was. And then once your squad achieved a certain goal, you got that upgrade.
Yeah, that was definitely in Battlefield 4. I'm not 100% sure if it was in Battlefield 3. Because I know in Battlefield 4, it was like, oh, you get extra mines or you can suppress people 25% more. But once you all die, it resets.
Yeah, I remember that. So there's benefits to keeping the squad alive and to play squad type stuff, like, you know, do what your leader says and to assist and to ammo and health and stuff,
right? But also getting like that V2 rocket is way better than getting 10% faster health recovery. Yeah. Like those numbers, like 25% faster this, 10%, those are boring. I want like solid things, solid rocket that I can send and get 13 kills, right?
See, big boom.
Yeah, I want big boom, because like it's a global thing, everyone knows, everyone hears that. And then once it blows up, people are blasted on their asses, friendly or foe. Like, everyone's affected. Global events are awesome.
Commander should get unlimited V2s. That's what I say.
Okay.
Just fucking rockets everywhere.
So, allegedly next month, we're going to get a trailer. And Tom Henderson, the guy that is the notable leaker guy, has said a few things about what's going to be in this teaser trailer, either the one that's next month or the one that's going to be at E3. And one thing that caught my attention the most was weather events. So as you've probably listened to our previous Battlefield talks, we love weather. We love the haboobs on Gulf of Oman. We love the floodgates opening on Flood Zone, I think is what it's called. The dam crashing open, the water. We just love weather events, Levolution, whatever. It's been rumored that in this trailer, you're in a cockpit of your POV is the cockpit of an Apache helicopter, some attack helicopter, and a missile is launching in the air, like a massive fucking missile. And coming towards it is a fucking tornado.
Oh, what the hell?
So there's a possibility that in the next Battlefield game, we will get fucking tornadoes.
That I love this idea only if it like has an AI logic that like seeks out camping snipers. So, like, you know, it doesn't have to do it,
yes,
but it has to just kind of like wander, like, oh, you better move, you better move.
This feels actually like it would be the next step in their like progression of weather events and how they take the maps and what they do with everything. Like, this.
They had a fucking hurricane.
Yeah, because they mentioned that explosives aren't going to be the only way you can take buildings down. And so, like, tornadoes, like, that'd be cool. As long as it works. Because I can, like, if you see a tornado coming towards you, like, in Battlefield, and you run towards it, do you just immediately die if you get within, like, a certain radius? Or do you, like, does your health, like, deteriorate the closer you get to the radius? And then once you get taken, you just get your body gets launched to space.
I hope it picks you up a little bit, and then it'll just like third person you, and you'll just see your body ragdoll, and you'll be like killed in action or something.
Yeah,
like just a little levitation, and then like
a stuck zone.
I think the idea of someone's health slowly decreasing as you get closer to it would be great, because that, you know, incentivizes you to get the fuck out of there. But hopefully it doesn't like pick you up and you're spinning around and you're like, okay, I'm gonna go fly over here and activate my parachute. That'd be stupid. I hope they don't do that.
Yeah, I agree. That would not.
That's chaotic.
Yeah. But on top of the rumor of having a tornado, they've also mentioned, this is rumor and speculation at this point, that there might also be tsunamis and volcano eruptions.
Volcano sounds fake. I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to it, but it sounds fake.
Guaranteeing everyone dies.
But I can see, like, if it's Gulf of Oman and a tsunami for some reason comes in and takes out like the beach objectives. Sure, like Siege of Shanghai, it crashes. You know, the objectives up here crashes down. Now it's in the middle of the water. I can see them kind of displacing objectives and making them reaccessible. But with a volcano, I don't know how they do that.
It sounds awesome. I would not be against it, but like that one sounds a little bit fake leaky to me.
Yeah.
I
it could also be a means of just like flexing in the trailer. Just be like, holy shit, Battlefield's got volcanoes, let's buy it.
Totally. I feel like I always have this concern when a new Battlefield comes out, but they always want to do bigger and better, which is not bad. But I always feel like they're pushing the hardware a little bit too far than what it's actually capable of. Even though we are now in a new generation of consoles, hearing about potential volcano eruptions and tsunamis, I feel like that is still a little bit too much for what we have to handle. And that kind of worries me, because I think of 360 and PlayStation 3 Battlefield 4 with Siege of Shanghai coming down, and it was just like a big old block with like four polygons, and then it's dust. And it looked dumb.
And remember when you were on like any part of the map, it would just be like, why is everything moving like
yeah.
this?
All the buildings coming down. Take a shit.
Granted, it was the previous gen at the time, but even on the fresh hardware, it still wasn't the greatest. It was much more improved, but I always worry that they're just a little bit too ambitious with some of the stuff like that.
But I love the ambition. Like,
yeah,
could you imagine
great,
a fucking
like,
tornado? Like,
run wild.
Yeah, even with like Battlefield 1 with the blimp coming down, that was awesome.
And
when
it
worked, it worked beautifully. I think if they can do that, they can do something decent with tornadoes or tsunamis.
The blimp too. Like, that was a really nice touch. Looked really good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not sure how the larger weather events. I mean, I'd like to see it. Let's be honest. Like they should be incredibly rare. I think that's one of the things. It shouldn't be as common as the building coming down in Shanghai. It should be one of those things that kind of happens a lot more rare, or when it's absolutely needed. Like if one team is getting absolutely like base fucked, like okay, tsunami comes in, completely changes the battlefield, and like now we're all spawning elsewhere rather than here.
And I can see, I don't know how they're going to do the volcano if they have it, but like I can see the volcano erupting, lava spews down over the map, and then it like hardens, which changes the dynamic and the layout.
Which now has different ridges and shit.
Mm. Yeah.
What if these weather events don't actually affect the game? What if they're just kind of bragging about this because it's happening in the background?
Be dumb and a waste.
Whatever.
Because we're like already kind of dictate how things go in Battlefield 4, you know?
Yeah. I'm just saying it's a possibility.
I think it needs to affect the game in some way other than, volcanoes erupting. Maybe. Like, there's no reason to look at it unless you, like, just give a shit. But, yeah, Siege of Shanghai, you're just like, fuck, like, I want to look at it because it's taking place on the objective and it's a fucking building coming down. That's awesome.
Or, like, I'm on top of the building and the alarms are going off and I'm going to die if I don't leave.
Is this building going down? Fuck, it's going down. All right, let's go.
That would be cool, though. I'm not opposed. I just want it to be smooth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That gives me less hope that it'll be on old generation as well.
Yeah,
it's
totally.
That's taxing on, what is this, like 7-year-old hardware now?
Pretty close.
6 or 7 years. Fuck.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely creates a more dynamic situation, so it's probably hard for everything to deal with.
Mm-hmm. I just really wanted to succeed.
Yeah. Same. This is I have so much hope, and I really, 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 really want them to do well because someone needs to dethrone Call of Duty. They've had the crown of like,
The game.
First person shooter.
like a solid multiplayer experience for a long time, and they need to be dethroned. Battlefield needs to step it up, and they gotta put everything into this. And
Maybe Medal of Honor will come back. Hey.
fuck my ass, dude.
Maybe that's a controversial announcement.
Oh my god, if DICE is releasing Medal of Honor Advanced Warfighter, I'd fucking blow my brains out.
Warfighter.
I'm selling my Xbox. Bye.
I'm just burning it. Like, I'm just throwing it in a fire at that point. Fucking
That's what
goddamn.
I think of you, DICE, throwing all the games in the fire.
I just think that Toy Story meme, I don't want to play with you anymore, drops Woody.
I don't know. I kind of hope the newer Battlefield has some better like firefight, like not animations but like dynamics. Because if you remember, I remember Battlefield 3 being actually very good with the whole firefight aspect, as in suppression felt real, and it was a little overdone at times, but also that's kind of like if you want to go with the immersion aspect, you can't just have bullets flying and nothing happening. Like you need to feel like you're getting shot at, and you need to like narrow your vision. You need to go and do your practiced shit like a soldier does. And I feel like that's something that is it, admittedly very hard to do. And I'm not going to say they should have it perfect, but I'm like, I don't feel that way in Battlefield 5 or 1. Like I really just didn't. I felt like it was just absolute chaos arcade mode.
They do a lot of little things to really add immersion to your gameplay. Like I remember, I think it was in they incorporated in one, but like when they would fire a pistol, the recoil animation for each pistol was a little bit different. Like it would
It'd go
lean a
different
bit to the
directions.
right, or lean a bit to the left, and then after the third shot, it would be in the center. And each gun would have their own feel. That's really cool and it's really interesting, but that's not going to bring a lot of people to your game. Having all those like immersive touches, like the gun recoil and everything, is really nice. And like being blasted back by a huge bomb is like really cool. But it needs to do a little bit more to draw the masses, other than like little things like that. Granted, they're really good things to have in your game. It's not something that's gonna to bring in all the money.
I think
That's
they
fair.
really with this next title, they just need to satisfy the veterans because we've been rooting for Battlefield for so long, and they just need to get their shit together and realize what we want. Because I think a lot of the praise goes to Battlefield 3 and 4, and then Hardline, Battlefield 1, Battlefield
We're gonna
5.
talk about Hardline.
Yeah, we don't.
Oh God, a hard line.
I think they just need to satisfy the veterans because we've been sticking it out for so long. Grant's been playing since 1942, 70 years ago. It's incredible.
Right, I'm an old man. I'm actually 95.
I think they just need to throw the veterans a bone, make us happy. That's all
Yeah,
I want.
I mean, I would just hope that it's, I guess the point that I don't know if I made this before we froze, but I just would like to see a little less arcadey. Like, if you want arcadey, go to Call of Duty. That's what it's for. That's why people love it. And I don't want to knock that because I love it. It's fun. But I played Battlefield because they cared about immersion and they cared about more details and whatnot. So like that explosion doesn't have to send you back 20 feet. It has to just kind of make you stumble a little bit. I don't want to see you running through, hails of bullets and running through just explosion, and like knifing me. Like, no, because I want to be sitting there behind good cover and I want to be throwing some rounds down range. And I may not get the kill, but if I'm keeping you down and helping my team, that kind of means more to me because we're capping the objective and we're having fun because I'm contributing. Not like, oh, hey, I'm gonna pop up to help out, and then now I'm the center of attention. And it's like, one, it's like that's not really fun to me because I'm not an elite gamer. I just kind of suck,
And that's the episode. Thanks, everyone. I think that summed it up really well. I think the difference between Battlefield and Call of Duty is that Battlefield is just like more real, and Call of Duty is
I
just
mean,
like just having fun, which is fine.
Battlefield matches can last up to an hour sometimes, and that can be really exhausting for a lot of people.
Yeah.
For
But
pussies.
I feel like the problem, yeah. I feel like the problem with the, Battlefield 1 and 5 decline is that they've tried to be Call of Duty, and it's like no, you can't do that. Like they're already better. You need to just beat them at a different game, which is your what you're supposed to do. It doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be a little different. It has to be more. It doesn't have to be 2 hour long games, of course, but it's just be solid and have some unique stuff and let us have fun with it.
Well, everybody, here we are again at a long, long episode. That's just the Battlefield effect on us. If there's anything you want to contribute, if you want to mention something that you want to see in Battlefield 6, or if there's anything you want to call us on bullshit, let us know. We're always reading the comments section because it's barren. appreciate you sticking around this long if you've been here this long.
Thank you.
Grant, thanks for joining us. And Chris, always happy to, always a pleasure to be acquaintance to you guys. Yeah, we're super excited for Battlefield, as you can clearly tell from the timestamp. And that wraps it up for today. So thanks again, everybody, for joining. I'm John, Chris over here, Grant down here, and we will see you in the next episode.
Bye.
Stay frosty.
Peace out.